Ari. Gopi Janna Malava Giri Varadari Yashodanandana Vrajajanarandana Yamunati Ravandachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kanjabi Hari Radha Madhava ki Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Shaiva Narotamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Yeah. 4:22:53 Pritu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras. There's a description of Pritu Maharaj by somebody, Maitreya. Eva Madhyatma Yogena Karmani Anu Samacharan Putran Utpadayam Asha Pancharishi Atma Samatan Boliega. Eva Madhyatma Yogena Karmaniyanu Samacharan Putranudpadayamasa Pancharishyatma Samatan Eva Madhyatma Yogena Harmony Anu Samacharan Putran Utpadayanasha Pancharishyatma Samatam Eva Madhyatma Yogena Harmony Anu Samacharan Putran Utpadayanasha Panjari Shatma Samadha. Ladies, Marajis, Marajis, ladies, Dhamma said. Eva Madhyatma Yogena Yasacharam Putran Utpadayanasha Pancharishyatma Samatam Eva Madhyatma Yogena Karmani Anu Samacharan Putran Utpadayam Asha Pancharishyatma Samatam Eva Madhyatma Yogena Karmani Anu Samacharan Putram Utpadayam Asha Pancharishayatmasamatamevam. Thus, adhyatma yogena, by the means of bhakti yoga, karmani, activities, anu, always, samacharan, executing, putran, sons, utpadayam, asa, begetting, begotten, pancha, five, archishi, and his wife archi, atma, own, samatam, according to desire, being situated in the liberated position of devotional service. Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, not only performed fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife, Archie. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire. As a householder, Maharaj Prithu had five sons by his wife, Archie, and all these sons were begotten as he desired them. They were not born whimsically or accidentally. How one can beget children according to one's own desire is practically unknown in the present age, Kali Yuga. In this regard, the secret of success depends on the parents' acceptance of the various purificatory methods known as sangskaras. The first sangskara, the garbhadan sangskara, or child-begetting sangskara, is compulsory, especially for the higher castes, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, sexual life, which is not against religious principles, is Krishna himself. And according to religious principles, when one wants to beget a child, he must perform the garbhadan sangskara before having sex. The mental state of the father and mother before sex will certainly affect the mentality of the child begotten. A child who is begotten out of lust may not turn out as the parents desire. As stated in the Shastras, yata yonir, yata bijam. Yata yoni indicates the mother, yata bijam indicates the father. If the mental state of the parents is prepared before they have sex, the child which they beget will certainly reflect their mental condition. It is therefore understood by the words atma samatam that both Prithu Maharaj and Archie underwent the garbhadan purificatory process before begetting children. Yeah, before. And thus they begot all their sons according to their desires and purified mental states. Prithu Maharaj did not beget his children out of lust, nor was he attracted to his wife for sense gratificatory purposes. He begot the children as a grihastha for the future administration of his government all over the world. Prithu Maharaj ki. Any comments, question, complaint? Garbhadan sangskara, sangskara. Probably I was reading when I was Subdhamana Bars. I was talking about it, doing a book on something, the human mission or something like that. So I was doing a little research, and I was looking through Prabhupada's conversations, letters, and he was talking about all the sangskaras, so many sangskaras, you know. In a, what do they call it in Spanish or in English? You know? Same thing there. Sacraments, right? Yeah. The Catholic Church has like seven sacraments or something. First one is baptism, then confirmation, then marriage, and then last rites. You know? And there's Gayatri initiation for priests, like that. Yeah. And about all, like that. Yeah. So Sacramento is the capital of San Francisco, sorry, California. It's really sacraments. It's the same thing, sangskara, sacrament. And every culture has these, yeah, if you want to call it a human culture, like that. Yeah. And so, you know, probably the first one is garbhadan, sangskara. And ISKCON probably makes the standard of chanting 50 rounds, you know, before trying to get a child like that. And then the consciousness is, you know, is purified like that. Yeah. And then after that, so many purificatory processes, diksha, upanaya, taking second initiation, you know, what else? You know, different things like that. Yeah. And the whole idea is that everything's created by Krishna. You know, time, space, you know, the stars, the moon. And time means different reactions in the material world, different devatas. You know, they make up the material world. Who's in charge of the mind? Which expansion of Krishna? Mind. Aniruddha, the expansion of Krishna, incarnation. Intelligence? Pradyumna. Yeah. And consciousness? Yeah. Vasudeva. The false ego is Sankarsan. Yeah. And then the sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha. Yeah, like that. So without sufficient sunlight, it's impossible to keep good mental health. Yeah. You know, Seattle, a lot of real crazy people, a lot of mental problems in Seattle. Yeah, you know? And so there's time, too. There's a certain time, like Ekadasi, you know, Brahma Muhurta, right? You know? And also human beings have a cycle, you know, growing up, certain ages, maturity, different things like that happening. And so these sangskaras are, you know, the ritual, psychological, social, everything else, right, which puts us in, you know, in coordination with the activities of the universe, like that. So things come off, happen properly. Yeah. So, for example, what's bar mitzvah, you know, for Jewish guys? What is bar mitzvah, you know? Jewish people have this tradition of bar mitzvah.
Sort of obligation.
Yeah, it's that day you're, you know, a person declares, you know, a boy declares legally, you know, today I am a man, you know. Then he becomes legally responsible for his own activities. Before that, whatever he does, his parents are responsible. At that point, he can sign contracts, he does things, he's responsible, you know. So it's, you know, it's becoming an adult, you know, different, you know, times and activities like that. So Garbhadhan is part of this whole thing, you know. You know, somebody entering into this thing. And also, guy, when you're born, the first breath you take, you know, puts you into the whole cycle of the function of the universe, right? So very important for everybody to know these things. You know? You know, people know them in different ways, adult children, you know, everybody has their own intelligence, their own nature. But Krishna consciousness is universal, beyond time and space, right? You know, how old was Dhruva Maharaj when he became a pure devotee? Yeah, 5 years old, like that. And Prahlad? Yeah. When did his Krishna consciousness start? Yeah, and Maharaj Pariksit? And Sukadeva Goswami? Yeah. So there's no limit on age or anything else. As soon as you come in contact with a civilized society, you can start, we can start taking advantage of these things that are being offered, you know. So many ladies I know in ISKCON, they have, you know, while they're carrying their children, before they're born, they read so much, like the whole Bhagavatam or something like that, you know. It has an effect, you know. The mother is not just a bag of chemicals. It's a whole emotional, psychological, you know, situation. And the child's being born, you know, like that, you know. They could take a tree, it starts growing. You know, within the very, very short time, certain basic principles about development are fixed. His wife, one devotee, Madhukanta from Mexico, you know, he's been in the U.S. for a long time. He's our pujari there, everything else. Very nice devotee. Chant and Be, it's just this little magazine they have, like Chant and Be Happy, whatever it is, on chanting. He's there, smiling like that, very friendly. So he says, you know, he's in the U.S. for maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and he goes back to Mexico, and, you know, sees his family, his aunt, and his mother, and they have, tortillas, frijoles, arroz, enchiladas, you know. He says his body feels like it hasn't eaten in 5 years. It's like, Sun Sacramento, one Indian life member, but he has a master's degree in agriculture. So a long time ago, they were bringing these big Western cows to India, you know, as an experiment, and Chimanbhai Patel. And then they they had to have these coolers, you know, water fans with water coolers, evaporation coolers for the cows, otherwise they would die in the summertime. But their children, no problem, you know, because they were rooted in that environment. As the very beginning of their lives, when their bodies are forming, they're forming with this kind of climate, this kind of cycle, this kind of humidity, this kind of, you know. After that, you can't change it. Fixed, you know. So, come back to India, maybe you feel like, you know, maybe many, many years you can do something, you know. But basically, you know, certain, and also even I know in English, in language, the children can make so many sounds, you know, honking, you know, it's like, but as they're practicing these at a certain age, the ability reduces like that. So it's very difficult for like people to understand later on to actually get all the sounds of another language, unless they've been maybe had that ability from birth, you know, heard many, many sounds, you know, exposed to many sounds. But people just cannot pronounce, you know, huh. It's like, Apkashugnam ka ha. You know? So, you know. Same way, too, English sounds, you try and get these sounds, they just don't exist in English, you know, in Hindi. Yeah, you can always tell somebody, Hindi speaker, like that. Even, you know, Ajay, he's raised up in America, but he talks English like an Indian, right? His grammar, everything else, because his family is that way. You know? So, anyway, this Garbhadan Sangskara, it's very important, you know, for the consciousness, you know, and the whole situation for the, you know, for our life like that, you know. So this is why we have obligation to our parents who've done so much for us, you know, like that. I notice most people, when they have their own children, they realize, God, it's so much work, you know, like that. Then you go to your parents and you thank them for not killing you. It's like, you know, it's, wow, so much work, you know. So, you know, it's a whole cycle. And Pitu Maharaj is the example, right? He's showing us how to live a proper life, you know, like that. You know, he's having five sons, wives, so they can take over the temple. He's older, or the administration of the world, you know. Yeah, and people are born for a certain purpose in life. Parents already conceive of some mission. You know, my sons, I have some mission for my kids, and they should turn out that way, you know. Yeah. And, you know, probably Krishna is there and saying, okay, this guy wants five sons to be emperors of the world. Who wants to take the job? And out of, you know, 40 million people, only three or four people raise their hand. He said, okay. You know, so you end up. You know, I had a son, you know, trying to get engaged him in Krishna consciousness. But I really could see, it seemed like what he wanted was to be close to devotional service, but not engaged in devotional service. That was kind of like his, you know, feeling nature, you know. So I don't know, maybe someday I'll meet him again, like that. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. So everybody has a destiny, a nature, and we're appreciating that, you know, why they took birth in this family. I'll tell you one story. One man, he's an ordinary person. He meets somebody else at a party, then after some time that man calls him and says, hey, you know, Jack, you know, remember me? I'm Bob. Oh, yeah. He said, tell you, I work for, Air Boise, Boise Airlines. And this next, you know, 2 weeks from now, then American Airlines is going to buy them, you know, buy the company. And the value of the stock, of course, is going to go up like, you know, like at least five, six times. So as an employee, I can buy on the margin. I can buy all kinds of stock for, you know, maybe just like one-third of the price like that. But if they find out that anybody else is buying it for anybody else, I lose that right. So if you can get any money together, and I actually called you because, you know, I didn't understand you a little bit, I liked you. But if anybody in my family knows, and I won't work. So I thought maybe you might want to buy into this, you know. You think, oh, okay, chance to make some easy money here, you know. So your wife's away, so you sell all of her jewelry, take all of her jewelry to the pawn shop, get money. And call the relatives in India and say, oh, your daughter is sick, she has cancer, quick, send money, you know. You know, so you go and give the guy like, you know, $100,000, you know. And sure enough, within a few weeks, you know, it goes up. And now it's $500,000. You think, wow, okay. Yeah. But then the guy never calls you. You know, and something, what happens? So funny, you know, he refuses to accept your calls, and you go there, and there's a guard at the door and says, oh, I don't know you. You never gave me any money. And you have no proof whatsoever, you know. So your wife comes back looking for her jewelry, her family members call. You also took money from the business. They found out. Your wife divorces you, your in-laws beat you, your company sends you to prison, you become an alcoholic, you know, get in an auto accident, you lose your leg, you know, you die. Okay, so you take birth again, this other guy, Bob, he takes birth again, and he has a good life, you know, many nice things, he's really enjoying life, you know, what's happening, and he has a really nice son, really attractive, so sweet, he's so attached to his boy. But then at about, you know, 4 years old, the child dies. And so this person, he took the money from me, he's He's suffering like anything because he was so attached to his son and everything else. He suffers like anything, you know. So the son was you, right? Come back again to get your revenge. So you don't know who your children are, right? Your children may be your worst enemies. Come back, right, to get revenge. Sometimes you could think that way. Yeah. So it's karma. Everything's going on for a purpose. A certain family, a certain nation, you know, a certain community. You know. And so Putu Maharaj is like, you know, participating in this from a Krishna conscious fashion. You know. And then everything becomes very nice. Actually, the whole world can become like Vaikuntha. You know, if we do this properly. And this is an example. But it's our choice, what we want to do. Like that. So any comments? Other ideas about Putu Maharaj? Karma? No.
Putu Maharaj one time said that when he was playing with Lord Vishnu, I will massage your feet.
Yeah.
And I hope Mother Lakshmi
will get envious.
And so Mother Lakshmi's position, mother's position, so how Putu Maharaj can take mother's position? And why?
I don't know.
Why is he speculating that?
I don't know. What his rasa is. You know, maybe it's his son. Maybe his son also is, you know, respectful like that. Pradyumna would never look above Krishna's feet, pretty much. Because you know, he was in this Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras, you know, son. Yeah. Is that time? One more verse. Remember one more verse here. Vijitashvam dum rakesham Haryaksham dravinam vrikam Sarvesham lokapalanam Dadaraika pratur gunan. I read something? You want to read? Okay, so Takshi is going to leave.
After beginning, five sons named Vijitashva, Vitumrakesha, Hariyaksha, Dravana, and Raka, Vitu Maharaj continued to rule the planet. He accepted all the qualities of the deities who governed all other planets. It is understood from Bhagavad Gita that in the sun there is a predominating deity named Vivaswan. Similarly, there is a predominating deity of the moon and of the other various planets. Actually, the predominating deity in all the other planets are descendants from the predominating deities of the sun and moon.
So, any comments? More scientists? Got all these scientists here.
People on the moon are invisible, right?
Maybe. Are there invisible conversations going on in this room right now? Yeah, how many? Yeah, isn't it? If you have the proper kind of device, you can pick up unlimited, you know, images. Yeah. So maybe there are beings that exist in that level, you know, with their own volition, that can move around with electromagnetic bodies. Yeah. They have electromagnetic, you know, chairs. And, yeah. Yeah. This is our present. We present Sankhya at different levels like that. And then, you know, when lectured over and over again at the University of Calcutta, and people accept it. It seems reasonable. Yeah. But it takes, you know, a different kind of body to appreciate these things, perceive these things. Yeah. So, I don't know. Electromagnetic body. Yeah. 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 Who is it? Maxwell? Maxwell, what are Maxwell's equations for? His famous equations. Huh? Yeah, it shows how the magnetic force can be an interchange with electric force. Like that. But gravity? Gravity and electromagnetic? And nobody actually still understands what gravity means. It's just that big bodies seem to attract other big bodies. It's kind of, it's about all we can come up with. You know? Yeah. Different forces. Huh? Yeah, so many Gauss. Yeah. It's a big discovery. Mm-hmm. So many subtle things. Yeah. I think Prabhupada, as far as I understand, he was criticizing. Is some point there? Yeah.
Trying to understand that if they have electromagnetic bodies, then they could be detected by, like, infrared goggles.
Well, not infrared.
If they had infrared bodies.
Then infrared bodies, yeah. Optical bodies. Well, there's Carillion photography. No, they don't teach you about these things. They want you to know. Now, Carillion photography is when you cut a leaf, living leaf, and take a picture with a camera, and you can see the whole leaf there, like that. Yeah. So the prana, maybe is still there. Many experiences like this. Many actual facts and experiences of prana and tactile energy and feelings like that. Yeah. Extending it from our body, but then does somebody else have a body like that? You know, ghosts. I mean, there's so many kinds of ghosts. Bhutas, pretas, vinyakas, vayas, kushmandas, subtle beings. You know. So sometimes we can take off our clothes. It's optional. But you can't take your skin off. It's kind of like, stuck with that. You know. But if you have a certain kind of body, then prana is optional. Maybe you're attached to space, but you're not attached to tactile form. You know. So even ghosts, you can feel them there in the corner of the room. Subhag Maharaj, he was studying in London, in mathematics. He met Prabhupada someplace like that, became a devotee. So he was a devotee in England. And they had some kind of house, it was a little bit less expensive, a little bit outside the city. It was a very old farmhouse with different, people had died there and a lot of history like that. So one time he was down this first story and one devotee came down from the upstairs and said, Subhag Prabhu, there's a ghost up in the so-and-so room. And Subhag said, yeah, I know. He kind of stays up in the corner like that, at night. And sometimes he's there and I can, sense his consciousness. So when he comes like that, I just start open the Bhagavatam and start reading it loudly, then he goes away like that. You know? So we have this, first off we have a psychological body, buddhi, manas. And then that becomes identifies with space. Space is created by the mind. Yeah, different cultures. And so okay, there's space, in the corner of the room. It's like a certain space, like that. And so there's a ghost is hanging out there for some reason like that. Many of these kind of ghosts are very somnambulistic, like sleepwalkers, half awake, not really like tuned in. So kind of hanging out in the corner of the room for some reason like that. Something happened. It was his room. And so then you start reading, in the mode of goodness, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and these tamasic guys go away. But they're also, you know, subtle beings in the mode of goodness, you know, stuff. If you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then the demigods may start assembling in the corners of your room, you know. The Digvijayas and stuff like that be present, you know, because it's so wonderful, so nice. Yeah. So that's subtle beings. And then down to prana. And Prabhupada says electricity is agni, fire. Yeah. Strange. A lot of prana too, you can feel it, you know, right? You touch electric, you know, touch an electric current, shocked. Yeah. So analyzing the elements in terms of this different cosmology. So I think Prabhupada was doubtful about the moon trip for two reasons. One is it was a trip on Bhumandal. They didn't go above Bhumandala. So Bhumandala is a kind of, that's a solar system, kind of like that, the ecliptic. So they went there on this level, you know. Above this is different level, and above that different level, you know, psychological level, tactile level, you know. For example, when they show you a map of the solar system, they never show you what it feels like. They always show you what it looks like, right? This is level of vision, you know. But you could also draw like a map of the solar system for like different, you know, tactile energies and how they're moving, you know. So you have, you know, Lagrange points? Lagrange, you know those? Yeah, what are they? Oh, okay. So one guy, Lagrange, he calculated that there were points of null gravity, where there was no gravity. For example, if you go to the moon, you know, you get close to the moon, at some point the poles are equal, the pole of the moon and the pole of the earth. Now where's it going to be? Is it going to be closer to the earth or closer to the moon, that point? Being pulled by the earth and being pulled by the moon. So some point equals zero. Yeah, because the moon is smaller, that's their idea, you know. But the sun is also very significant, you know. So then actually, to get, you know, if you're at 0 point, but you'll still be being pulled by the sun. So if you go a little bit away from the sun or something like that, I don't know, at some point, you can find these three things produce 6 points of null gravity called Lagrange points, and two are very prominent like that. So my speculation is that those two prominent ones are Rahu and Ketu, which are described as invisible planets, invisible loka. There's a Greek word very similar to the word loka. Yeah, yeah. What is the definition in math geometry of an ellipse or a circle? Circle. What's the definition of a circle? The locus of all points equidistant from one point. An ellipse. You know, you don't know. The locus of all points, the sum of the distance from 2 points, which is a constant. Take two tacks, put a loose string, stretch it with a pencil. Now the sum of the distance from those 2 points is going to be a constant. What do you get? You get an ellipse. So it's a nice way to draw, like an art. You know, take your distance, the length of your string, and you can make exactly the kind of ellipse you want, like that. You know? But it's locus. It's the Greek word locus. I think it's the same word, loka. You know? So, you know, it's Rahu loka and Ketu loka. It means an area, a place. It's invisible. You know? But, you know, the gravity there is zero. So kind of whatever, you know, if you put a Coca-Cola machine, a sofa, and a pool table, it'll all stay there. And it won't go anywhere else, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, I think I mentioned this to Sariputta, but he kind of like didn't like it because I wasn't a scientist. But so it says that then during the solar eclipse, lunar eclipse, that Rahu eats the moon or whatever it is. So if you're looking at, we don't see everything, the tactile map of the solar system during the eclipse, it may very well be that the you know, the gravity field of this Lagrange point opens up, you know, and consumes the gravity field of the moon, and then comes out again. What the Veda is describing, he has no body, so it goes in his mouth and comes out again. So it's just like same, you know, description, what's happening. Yeah. So anyway, this is trying to match up one thing to the other. But I think one point was that we never went to the moon. Prabhupada was kind of adamant about that, was that they never went to the you know, that level, to the real moon, where the real activity is. You know, it's like a cockroach comes in, or some deaf person comes into the temple, and they say, oh, nothing happening. And they go away, tell their friends. But they weren't like on the level where things were happening, which is verbal, acoustical. So they went to the moon, but they weren't on the level of, you know, that energy, which is mostly psychological, like the moon, it's mostly like in the soul, the mental level, yeah, like that. So psychological city, dream cities, and dream people, and dream cars, you know. Is that less substantial or more substantial? Yeah, you know. See, when you get more intimate, and more durable, and more intense, and, you know, bigger. Yeah. So the other reason the Prabhupada said never went to the moon was because he thought that actually they didn't go, physically even like that. So people accept that? Or they believe that? Yeah? You seen any kind of evidence we never went to the moon physically? How many trips were there supposedly to the moon? You know? There's more than one. Yeah. It's Apollo, right? There was a book called We Never Went to the Moon. And, you know, no big publisher ever took it up. You know, like that. And everybody involved with it, finally the author too, finally also was killed or died. You know, there were, for example, one story. There were two people in charge of the project, and you know, the astronauts. One of them supposedly had a press. He said, "We can never go to the moon. They have a recording. Something wasn't working in their practice." And he said, "God damn it! How are we supposed to go all the way to the moon if we can't even get, you know, from here?" You know, across the street, you know, like that, something like that, recorded like that, doing their things like that. So supposedly he was going to call a press conference and tell everybody it was a complete waste of money. It was so many problems, it wasn't going to work, like that, you know. And then a few days after that, there was a famous fire, and all the astronauts burned to death. And they couldn't get out, you know. An escape door, which was there, was locked from the outside, you know. Yeah, so. And then there were two people in charge of the project, an Air Force major and a civilian contractor. And they both sent reports to Congress of this thick of all the problems there were, you know, in this whole project. It was very difficult, very complicated project. So this guy, the author of the book, tried to get copies of the reports from the congressional record. They were all gone. Finally, he found one congressman living in Fiji who had his own copy. And that's what he then showed everybody, you know, saw all these problems, you know. He tried to contact the Army major, and they said, "I'm sorry, he's on a top secret assignment. He's now a colonel. Well, who are you? Why do you want to contact him?" You know? Yeah. He tried to contact the civilian. He and his wife were dead. They died when their car stalled on a railroad track and was hit by a train and killed them. You know? Or maybe they were drugged. Because, I mean, yeah, you can imagine how, you know, your car's in a stall on a railroad track. You can't get out and walk away before the train hits you. Maybe they were drugged. The bodies were there, and maybe they were drugged. Well, an autopsy would have shown that. But there was no autopsy. The bodies were burned. They don't burn bodies in that county. Yeah. Yes. Anyway. So anyway, many things. So then this guy was pointing out, it was, you know, almost dead everybody, you know. And he was alive. The book went to several publications. He even mentioned that people were beginning to, you know, follow him, like seemed like government agents like that. And finally, he's also dead. Okay, you know, discussing this also. Yeah. So then the book was never published. You know, but it was circulating. You know. And now then Fox TV. Is that American? It's British, no? Fox TV is British. Yeah. It's not controlled by American. By Americans. They had a whole series I saw, whole like about, you know, 45 minute thing on did we go to the moon? And they had a guy from NASA, you know, saying, no, this is ridiculous, you know. There's, for example, I can't remember some of it, because some of the things are so ridiculous, it's very hard to explain, you know. Like, they have pictures in the moon, right? Now, you know, as always, they etch crosshairs on the lens, so you can tell like where the things are, okay. See, this picture of something like that. So the crosshair is here, the object is here, and the crosshair disappears behind the object. It's on the lens like that. They have a picture of them at their base camp, and a picture next day of a lunar rover, right? The vehicle, you know, like 3 miles away, you know. And they take on the camera, the television, they take these pictures and just flash them back and forth one to the other. And it's exactly the same location, but like a little bit to the different like that, you know. And the guy says, well, you know, maybe what happened was they just took the picture and they thought it was the picture of when they were 2 miles away and all these pictures they had of sorting them out. And okay, yeah. They go to the next one like that. They didn't ask about the crosshair. Or maybe when it was developed, the object was so dark that it was like, I think the producers also were really favoring the idea they didn't go there. I've heard the Germans from the very beginning really thought it was a fake, like that. Because American prestige was so much involved in this, so much important. They had to do this, so on. So again, maybe the first one was faked, and the second one after that, they finally got it together and finally went there. So I think probably very astute, politically, everything. So I think I understand he was also kind of in favor of that idea that the first one had been just faked like that. So anyway, now there's a Fox photo finished off because there's supposed to be Fox network finished off with this thing. There's supposed to be a flag there, and the vehicle is still supposed to be there, and the lunar module basic thing is supposed to be there. And that would be, and the Japanese are having a flyby like this year or something, a lunar flyby with their satellite. And it should be close enough to actually can take pictures and see if they're actually there or not. But of course, it's so political. I don't know how much, if it's not there, if it actually was a hoax, I don't know how much pressure there would be on the Japanese subtly to invent photos of it. On the other hand, the Japanese may do the exact opposite. And even if it was there, they may like eliminate it. So what do you know? In terms of all these big political things and everything else, we're just like, the things come down, so you can wonder about things. So, where the moon is, moon planet, and then also we say that there's so many suns, so many moons, and Earth is just one like that. So this is definitely a very different view from what astronomy is giving us, that the Earth and the Moon is heliocentric view. And all the different sun, all different suns are, the universe is too, how Prabhupada is translating it. There's one thing that Prabhupada even says, some people like Dhanavir Maharaj, they're very fanatical about Prabhupada's books being exactly like this and that. But Prabhupada says in his books, one place he says, I'm not a scientist. Some scientists have to match these things up if they're interested. Well, here's some things. In the beginning he says, I make so many mistakes in English. I don't know the language, so there are bound to be mistakes like that. So sometimes, yes, there are things that appear like, when Prabhupada's talking about the universe or something, or the earth, Bhumandal, is being translated as the earth. It's not what, apparently we go through it, it's not what he means. He has a different view of like the physical world even, because Bhumandal means the earth level. It doesn't mean the physical globe to him. It means the ecliptic, like that. So it's one job to go through and take these things and say, yeah, he's writing and the way he's using the words may not be exactly the way we use the words. Some very definite things like that. For example, the word prostitute, that's not the way we use it in common English, like that. And the word prostitute in common English means a very low-class person who goes in the street, whistling at guys in the car, Actually, the way the word probably, what is the word? The problem would use the way probably using the word prostitute. What is the English word? Courtesan, right? It's the same thing basically. But I am not a prostitute. I'm a courtesan. Okay. It means some girl, maybe born in the family like that, he says, Baba's talking about this. Sometimes by the tricks of fate, you're stuck. So you have 2-3 boyfriends, lovers, during your lifetime, but you're not gross, and stuff. And you're controlled like that and stuff like that. So that's a courtesan. Yeah. And that's the way Prabhupada's usually using the word like that. So if you say these people are prostitutes. All of these girls in Boise, Idaho, or 90% of the girls in Boise, Idaho, are prostitutes. It's not going to get a good reaction from the people you're talking to. But if you say 90% of the girls in Boise, Idaho, are living like courtesans, and you go, well, okay. But they maintain themselves. A courtesan is supposed to be maintained by her lover, like the count, the duke, or something like that. And Prabhupada says in his community, that's what's going on. They had girls who were servants in the house. And he said his father just couldn't pay enough. He just didn't have enough money to pay them so they could live. So he said they were then girlfriends, or you'd say mistresses, for some of the vaishyas in their community. And he said they were characterless people. He said, but every day before they would go to the office, they would go in and go see Radha Govinda. They could never, they'd always have to take their bath, they'd always go see Radha Govinda and pray and stuff like that. And they would be generous, giving donations like that. So they accepted their fallen condition. We're lusty guys, and we have to have association with a couple girls other than our wife. And so, okay, and these girls were poor girls, we can't do anything, so I got, you know, this guy. And it was all, you know, adjusted into the society like that. It wasn't ideal, but it was like, you know, it's better than this. And it's progressive, and you're going up like that. I'm a devotee. So, anyway, words. So it's one thing, probably, with words like that in the language is that sometimes we have to, like, adjudicate, you know, understand what he's talking about. So, any final? Yes, sir. There. Yeah. 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 I can't hear you. The sun orbits around the Bhagavatam says. Yeah, okay.
The sun is traveling
on his... Around Dhruva.
Wow.
Is that it? I think it's talking about going around the universe, but it's just defining the universe as being focused on the pole star. Yeah.
So that means all the planets are revolving around Vishnu.
Yeah.
So you mean our
solar system is... Now, probably again, what is the word for universe? You know, Jagat, probably, you know. I don't know. You know? So you got to go back like that. Jagat, different things to find what it's talking about. But in that perspective, yeah, you can say, if you make, it's totally arbitrary, right, in terms of geometry. You can have a heliocentric or a geocentric model. You know, you can make your bicycle the center of the universe, right? Yeah? And then you can, then the mathematics is, so, you know, it's very, very easy to calculate in terms of your Euclidean geometry. Thank you, Euclidean. You may have to go to some a little higher geometry, like what's it called? Analytical geometry. Yeah, analytical geometry, to include calculus. You know, to get the orbits down like that and stuff. But basically, it's a fact. Either heliocentric or you know, sun-centered or moon-centered. You know, Earth-centered. It could be lunar-centric. You can do it. So the Bhagavatam in general is talking about. Seems like, you know, a Dhruva, you know, pole star centric universe. And if you look at that, then yeah, the Earth is going in a certain orbit, you know, in terms of other stars. And I'm not sure how it's fixing Dhruva. I mean, it's fixing Dhruva in terms of the Saptarishi, the Big Dipper, Ursa Major. So I think the whole model is basically Dhruva and then Ursa Major. And then there's some star, you know, there's some fixed relationship between those, right? And then the Earth, is, you know, sun is moving around those, and I think, oh boy, because Sariputta goes through analyzing these and taking descriptions from previous people. That's the sacred universe. And his point is in the fifth canto, what's there is usually is there's at least three different models, three different maps, like that. And one is this, you know, Dhruva-centric map, and another one is a polar projection. Looking at the Earth from the North Pole, how do these guys even know about the North Pole? You know, and why is the Earth pointing at the North Pole? Why is it rotating around the North Pole? Yeah, it is. You know, exactly. Well, yeah, I guess that's why we can make it, why it's the North Pole. But it's also like a top; it spins, but has a secondary motion like this, right? You know, it's spinning, retrograde motion. So there's also this retrograde motion with other motion, you know, like that. Calculating these things. But it's even if you're accepting it's just some kind of savage, you know, view from the Earth, they had some kind of very sophisticated system of calculating these things, which we don't know about now, long before they appeared in Europe, long before that. You know? And so that's one model. Other one's polar projection, looking down the Earth, flattening it. Then everything below the equator doesn't appear on your map, right? So that's all. That appears to be all Patala. You know? We're talking about Patala. And then again, the old name for Argentina is Patagonia. Yeah. 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 So, there are many, many things that seem to support this. This is the map we're thinking about. Another one appears just to be simply a map of... One, for example, there's these like oceans of liquor, oceans of oil, ghee, oceans of what else? Of water, salt water. Yeah. And then there's these islands, right? You know? So you understand how those go on? How primitive. Okay. What it is you have the sun. Then the Earth's going around the sun or something like that. Otherwise, I don't know what it is. It's like it's Earth-centered, okay. Now the orbits of the planets then look like epicycloids. What's an epicycloid? You know, it's a, if you have a light on a bicycle wheel, from the point of view of the bicycle, it's a circle, cycloid. But if you're looking at it from the side, it's going like this. Yeah? So that's an epicycloid. So from the point of view of the Earth, the orbits of Mars, Venus, Jupiter, they're all epicycloids, you know, like that. Okay, so let's speed it up. And what do you get? Maybe speed it up like 1,000 times. Then what does it look like? A solid ring of light, like that. And if you're slow like that, if you step on it, it'll also be solid, like that. You know? Okay, those are the ring-shaped islands, right? And then apparently the width of the ring, you can match that up with the width of the epicycloid, you know, perigee and apogee, like that. Wow. These guys, you know, maybe they're talking about this from a higher planetary system, the speed of the motion. Now then something decided to put it to that. Now again, my speculation is he didn't do this because now they have these oceans, right? My speculation is the oceans are the atmospheres of those planets. Right? For example, an atmosphere of alcohol. Now, if you, Venus, right? If you go to Venus, is closer, right? Yeah, Venus is closer. Yeah. So, who's the first one? Was it Mercury? Venus? Venus is next, then Earth, then Mars, right? Yeah, okay. So, if you go, for example, if you go to Mercury, you know, it's very hot, but it's apparently there is an atmosphere. But there you could have an atmosphere, for example, of oil, right? Because oil would stay in a, stay like that. See, so that may be the atmosphere, the ocean of ghee. I have to go through and look at these things. Get my Nobel Prize. So that may be the ocean of ghee, right? And the ocean of alcohol, maybe the other side, maybe Venus. Because there it's very cold, but alcohol wouldn't freeze. Ah! Yeah. So the more you find enough of these things, you know, and then you start producing weapons and whatever, food or something, you know, and then people start, you know, probably said a scientist should prove the existence of God. So in some ways, if we can prove the authenticity of the Bhagavatam on these levels, you know, then it's like people really start to suspect, well, maybe there is a God, there's a Krishna, four Kumaras. So this is, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And if we're actually engaged in this work practically, then Prabhupada said the money will come, you know, like that. Yeah, I'm going to worry about, you know, if you get married, okay, I'm going to worry about these things. I'll be, you know, sufficient income and everything like that. Yeah. So Papa keep. Hare Krishna Mahārāja keep on to keep God. We never went to the moon to keep. I was only talking about the first trip too, I think. I wasn't talking about the later trips. My suspicion is that the first trip